We're going to be beginning our sermon time today by looking at a music video together. So this is a song and a video that my kids and I have enjoyed watching recently. This music video is for a song called Millionaire by Christian musician Torrin Wells. It's a fun song and a fun video, though if you take a closer look at the lyrics, which we are going to do after we watch the video, you'll discover that the song is actually about a very serious topic. Here we go. Let's watch.
If I had a dollar for every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, if I had a dollar for every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Was about to lose my mind, but God came right on time. He made a way out my way. Yeah. And I thought it was the end, but he stepped in again and made a way out my way. Yeah. God is good like that. Yeah, he's good like that. My God is good like that. He's good. For every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, if I had a dollar for every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, wall, had my back against the wall, it looked impossible, but he made a way out of
no way.
I want to actually read the lyrics to you because I know, you know, it's hard to catch lyrics one time through a song. So let me do that for you. I'll just read them to you. So if I had a dollar for every time they say God isn't going to come through, I'd be a millionaire. If I had a dollar for every time they said God wasn't going to come through, I'd be a millionaire. Mind was about to lose my mind, but God came right on time. He made a way, and I'm going to say this the way Torrin Wells sings it, okay? He made a way out no way. Got it? End. I thought it was the end, but he stepped in again. He made a way out no way. God is good like that. Yeah, he's good like that. My God is good like that. He's good. Wall had my back against the wall. It looked impossible, but he made a way out no way. Life was about to lose my life. He came and paid the price and made a way out no way. God is good like that. He's good like that. My God is good like that. He's good. You can have your doubts, but I can't deny his faithfulness in my own life. You can have your doubts, but I can't deny his faithfulness in my own life. He made a way for me. God is good like that. So lyrics. All right, so we're going to go through this song section by section together now. First lyric, if I had a dollar for every time they said God wasn't going to come through, I'd be a millionaire. There's plenty of doubters out there, people that don't believe God exists and are willing to say so. We know the people in our lives who maybe think that way. And of course, we've all seen people on TV or other media platforms saying something close to God isn't going to come through, right? And Torrin Wells wishes he would get a dollar every time somebody said that. If we're honest, though, there are times, even in the lives of believers, when we wonder if God will really come through, I think. We haven't given up our hope in him or our belief in him, but sometimes it's hard to have confidence that he is going to come through in tough circumstances. And the phrase tough circumstances applies very much right now as we look around at all that's happening in our world, in our nation, even in the lives of our fellow Calvary members. On the world stage, as I just prayed about, evil is showing itself again in Afghanistan and elsewhere. Hatred, destruction, flat-out murder. And where's God? In America, we continue to battle against COVID and battle against each other and culture wars and political wars. And you know, where's God in this? There are Calvary people really struggling right now with serious health issues and other things. And sometimes we wonder if God is going to come through. Let's move to our next song lyric. Mind. Was about to lose my mind. But God came right on time. He made a way out, no way. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times the spirit had seized the man, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed, and in his right mind. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Let's get ourselves into the shoes of this man for just a bit, this man whom Jesus cast demons out of. I mean, we have no idea how demons began afflicting this man or when, but verse 27 said that this had been going on for a long time. What would it take for a person to reject clothes and a house and go live alone amongst the tombs? In Mark chapter 5, it says that this man would sit amongst the tombs and cut himself and cry out. This was a man living in a state of serious agony and torture day after day after day. And he was powerless to stop the agony. This situation was completely outside his control. The situation was not, however, outside the control of Jesus. And so one day, Jesus entered into this man's life. We just read about it. He cast the demons out, and all of a sudden, there's this very same man, as it told us in verse 35, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Torrin Wells sang "Mind," was about to lose my mind. This man would have sung "Mind, I lost my mind." Totally lost it. But God came and made a way out no way. Have you ever struggled with something so mightily that you thought you literally might lose your mind? Fun song, serious topic. Next lyric. End. I thought it was the end, but he stepped in again and made a way out no way. In the days after Old Testament Israel had been demolished because of their sinful ways at that time, and Jews had been scattered all over, a Jewish man named Daniel was forced into serving the Babylonian king. Daniel was a true God follower, and therefore he lived with principle and honor, though I'm sure that he didn't want to be serving the king of Israel's enemy. He sought to do all that he was asked to do for that king well. And he quickly gained the favor of King Darius. At the same time, he gained the competitive jealousy of others who had been seeking the king's favor. These other men who also served the king decided that if they were going to ever get themselves into positions of power in the kingdom, they had to get rid of this Daniel, and so they set a trap for him. They knew of Daniel's devotion to God, and so, without mentioning Daniel at all, they talked King Darius into issuing a decree that for a time period of 30 days, anyone found worshiping any god or any other person other than the king would be thrown to the lions to be killed and eaten. They even talked the king into issuing this decree in a way that apparently existed in Babylon at that time, that once it was issued, not even the king could revoke it. Though Daniel served King Darius well, his top allegiance always was to God, and just as those seeking to trap him had expected, Daniel continued to pray to God once that decree was issued. He was soon caught in the act, of course, and dragged in front of Darius. Immediately, the king knew he had been tricked, but although he wanted to save Daniel's life, he could not reverse his decree, and thus, into the lion's den went Daniel. Now, we don't know Daniel's thoughts as he went into the lion's den. He was a man of great faith, but I would think that the odds are still pretty good as he came face to face with a bunch of hungry, powerful lions, that these words might have gone through his head. End. I think this is the end. Right? Here's Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den, and when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him. To all who had heard of or had seen Daniel being thrown to the lions, it would have looked like this was the end for him, but it's not the end until God says it's the end. He stepped in again and made a way out, no way. On to our next song lyric. Wall, had my back against the wall. It seemed impossible, but he made a way out, no way. It was not uncommon for the Apostle Paul and others who were teaching about Jesus in the cities of the Roman Empire to occasionally ruffle some feathers. And once, in the town of Philippi, some exaggerated charges against Paul and his companion Silas were brought to the local authorities. Those authorities then took the two men and had them beaten and thrown into prison, their feet fastened in the stocks, it says. Well, this is great. I suppose we're going to rot in this cell now. I have painful wounds here that need to be treated. Completely unfair charges too. God, all I wanted to do was to teach about your son, and now how am I going to do that sitting here in this prison? Circumstances are looking bad here, Lord. Impossible even. Seems like everybody is against us. Here's Acts 16 with the rest of the story. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors just flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he'd come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." So the jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. You can leave. Go in peace." "Had my back against the wall" was the song lyric, and I can imagine Paul and Silas with their backs literally against a prison wall, thinking that things looked hopeless, but then God. Let's jump back into the Old Testament one last time. The man Israel and his 12 sons came to live in Egypt around the year 1875 BC. And they were in great favor with the Egyptians, son Joseph having become second in command to Pharaoh himself. Moses was born to an Israelite couple within Egypt around the year 1525 BC, so that's 350 years after Joseph's time. Somewhere within that 350 years, the Israelites, now having become quite a large ethnic group within Egypt, had moved from being a well-loved people amongst the Egyptians to being a despised people whom the Egyptians forced into slavery. And by the time of Moses, they had been enslaved for many, many years. I don't think I could begin to understand really what it must feel like to be enslaved by other human beings, treated as though I were a tool or an animal, a possession. Awful stuff. I'm sure I would dream about freedom, but I would think that for most enslaved people throughout history, that dream probably felt like an impossible dream. I could imagine that the imagery from our song here today of having your backs up against the wall fits the situation, that slaves felt as though they were being pinned up against a wall by a people far stronger than they were, with no hope to overpower them or ever escape. The Israelites would have known the stories of how they used to be free and how God used to be with them. But where was God now? Oh, even after Moses showed up and started talking about freedom, it still looked like an impossible dream. All Moses had done from the Israelite point of view partway through the Moses story had gotten Pharaoh so upset that he made the work that he assigned to them a whole lot more difficult. "Just leave us alone, Moses," they said. "You're only making things worse." Well, the many Israelites who grumbled something to that effect to Moses couldn't have known that just a few weeks later, they would have been made witnesses to miracle after miracle from the hand of God against the Pharaoh of Egypt, including a stopping up of the Red Sea so that they could escape on dry ground, a sea that next came crashing down upon the chariots of Egypt that had been chasing after them. And all Israel gathered together with Moses at that time, and they sang, "I'll sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he's hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him." The people of Israel had their backs against the wall. Their situation was impossible, but God made a way out no way. And then, speaking of an impossible situation, life was about to lose my life. Bible teaches that each one of us has been born into sin, and each one of us has sinned, and thus we all deserve the death penalty for rebelling against our Creator, the life giver, the judge of the universe. And the Bible says there is absolutely nothing that we can do to get ourselves out of that death sentence. An impossible situation. Life was about to lose my life. He came and paid the price and made a way out no way. Yeah, when we look around us right now, we see a lot of really hard things. Things that might make us wonder if God is there and if he cares. And so I wanted to remind us today of some Bible stories that teach us that God is there, that he does care, and that he is going to come through. The next song lyric says, "You can have your doubts, but I can't deny his faithfulness in my own life. He made a way for me." So you see, Torrin Wells, he didn't have to only go to Bible stories to find reminders that God comes through. He just had to think back over experiences he's had of God in his own life, and I would bet that's true for many of you here today as well. Well, as I head towards a close now, I want to ask you to take note of three things from all that we have spoken of here today. Take note, first of all, that in all the stories that we've looked at today of God coming through for people, while some of those stories described his coming through for people quickly, many of the stories talked about God coming through only after a long wait, sometimes a very long wait. Remember, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town for a long time. This man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. What had that experience been like for that man suffering for such a long time? But then Jesus. The descendants of the 12 sons of the man Israel, or Jacob, they suffered in slavery in Egypt for generations before God led them on an exodus out of that country. And from the first hints that were delivered to God's people about a Messiah to come until that actual Messiah came, some 2,000 years passed. So take note that sometimes it takes a long time before God comes through. That has to be something that we take away from these stories. It's not abnormal for there to be a lengthy waiting period that we just have to live through before God acts. It's a normal part of how God operates in this world from time to time, and I'm certain that we can trust that he has very good reasons for that. Sometimes it takes a long time. Second thing to take note of here today, note that most of the people in these stories that God came through for were people who were seeking wholeheartedly to follow God in their lives. If we are running from God and rebelling against him, probably shouldn't expect miracles. And the third thing to note, we need also to notice that the people we've talked about here today, even though God came through for them again and again in incredible ways, they didn't live pain-free. You can think of the Apostle Paul, who had this talks about this thorn in his side that he had apparently for all of his life. These people didn't live pain-free, and they all eventually died, even Jesus. So although God may have saved them multiple times during their lives, eventually something came along that God did not save them from, and they died. We need to know this. Until Jesus returns, all of his followers are going to face the death of our earthly bodies. But Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And we skip to verse 36. While the disciples were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." During the earthly life of Jesus, God came through for him again and again, but then came something that Jesus actually prayed for that God did not do for him. God did not save Jesus from dying on the cross. God wasn't done, however, coming through for Jesus. And when we die, Christ followers, God won't be done coming through for us either. Eventually, it is a welcoming into eternity that will represent God's ultimate coming through moment in our existence. Side note. Take a second to think about what the people were saying before God came through for Jesus and resurrected him. The words of some of those people who were nearby the cross as Jesus died there. They said to him, from Matthew 27, "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. He said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" If I had a dollar for every time they said God wasn't going to come through. You know, if Jesus truly is the Son of God, and we looked over the years here at very strong evidential and experiential reasons to say that he is. If Jesus truly is the Son of God, then Scripture truly is the Word of God because Jesus said it was. And if Scripture truly is the Word of God, then the stories contained within it have points to make to us, communication from God to us. And the point of the stories we've looked at today, the point of my sermon today, is God is gonna come through. God is gonna come through. It's not a minor theme in the Holy Bible. It's a major theme. We've seen a lot of stories today. We could have looked at a ton more. God is gonna come through. God is gonna come through for you, Christ follower. He's gonna. I said, God is gonna come through. So, hold on. And while we hold on, we can celebrate this trustworthy God, just as Torrin Wells and friends have done in the song and music video we've looked at today. This God makes a way out of no way. He is good like that. What have you got to say to that this morning? Lord God, we live by faith and not by sight, which means that when circumstances tell us that you aren't there or that you don't care, we say no to that. And we hold on to our belief in your goodness and our belief that you are going to come through in the end. And really, Lord, it's not completely a live by faith and not by sight thing, because we can see what you have done to come through for people in the past, as we've done here this morning. And we can see what you have done in our own lives in coming through for us in the past or in the lives of our friends or family members. So in some ways, it is faith by sight. We can see, as we spoke about last Sunday morning, the undeniable goodness of your Son, Jesus Christ, from reading the Gospels. And when we live by looking at Jesus, we know that we can hold on because eventually Jesus is gonna come through for us. That's his character. Lord God, you are our lifeline. What would we do living in this world that sometimes can be really awful? What would we do without our hope in you? Only you have the words of life. So, Lord, thank you today for communicating to us again through these old Bible stories. Thank you for reminding us that you are there, that you care, and that you're still in the business of making a way when there is no way. We thank you and praise you on this day. Amen.